And then Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Amen. We thank God for that reading from his word. Steve is going to come and read for us from Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 23. Again, if you have your own Bible, if you have a Bible app on your phone, then I do encourage you to turn up these passages as they're read to us. Thank you, Steve.
Starting at verse 23 in the NIV Bible, this is headed, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not the man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Chapter 3, this heading in the NIV Bible is headed, Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus.
Brilliant. Thank you, Steve. So today I want to reflect on the theme of the Sabbath. And I've entitled this Sabbath, God's gift to creation. Sabbath, God's gift to creation. Now I call this God's gift to creation because when we read Genesis 1 and then on into Genesis chapter 2, we have the account of the creation of all things. God says, "Let there be light," and there is light, and God declares it good. God says, "Let there be land and sea, and let there be the moon and the sun," and so on. And all through the 6 days, God creates. On the sixth day, God creates male and female. He creates humanity. And it's often been said, at least, maybe you've heard this as well, but I've heard it on numerous occasions, that humanity is the peak, the pinnacle, the crown of all creation, because God finished creating with humanity. Have you heard that? Yep. But we're missing something. On the seventh day, God rests. And the true pinnacle, the true crown of all creation is the day of rest. Isn't that wonderful? I think it is. That God, out of his character, creates all things. And he declares them good, and then when he stands back and looks at all he's created, says, it is very good. And then he rests. It's on this seventh day, the last day, that God rests. And more than that, we are told in Genesis 2, verse 3, God blesses the seventh day and makes it holy. There is something sacred, there is something beautiful about the Sabbath, the day of rest. So that's why I've called it Sabbath, God's gift to creation. And it is a gift that God has placed within all of creation and within us. This desire, this natural need to rest. And I've got three headings. Hopefully they will all come up. Character, salvation, and worship. So all that I say, all that I reflect on this morning on the theme of Sabbath will come under one of these. Character, salvation, and worship. So when I get to worship, you'll know I'm almost there. So beginning with character and three words or four words here. God, holy, tradition, and law. God created the Sabbath. God creates the Sabbath because it is within his own character to rest. Maybe we've said it many times and reflected it to one another, that God creates out of his character. That is who God is. Why does God create? Because God is creative. It's within his character. And we will all have had those moments where we have done something. Why are you doing that? It's who I am. It's within my, as it were, within my DNA to do this, to act like this. God creates because it is within his character. And we need to understand that the Sabbath, this day of rest, arises from God himself. And it is within the character of God that there is rest. And if we, as we will see, if we want to reflect the character of God, as we pray, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon me, we know that we will become creative, because that's who God is. He's creative. But maybe we've not thought, if I reflect the character of God, then I will rest. Yeah? I will rest because the Sabbath rest is something that arises from the character of God. Now, the second word, holy, I've already highlighted this. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 3, then God blesses the seventh day and makes it holy. All through creation, he said, it is good, it is good, it is good. It is all very good, but this seventh day, this day of rest, he declares holy, sacred. There is something different about this day as compared to the other 6 days. He declares this day to be holy. There is something sacred about this day. Now, I'm aware, of course, that we might be resting. Somebody might come to us and say, why aren't you doing whatever it is that is on the list to be done? I'm enjoying the sacrament of rest. So you are justified in saying that. God has declared rest holy. And I haven't quite got my head around that, but that's what it says. the Sabbath is declared holy. Now, this third word, tradition. How many times, maybe you can help me out here, how many times do you have to do something to become, for it to become a tradition or a habit? Have you heard this? You know, some people say you have to practice something. Is it 10,000 hours? Is it? Or 30 days or something? Have you heard this kind of thing? You know, if you repeat this habit enough times, it becomes part of your habits. Yeah, this kind of thing. Now, God declares this day holy. But what we see as we move through the early books of the Old Testament, as we move into Genesis, we discover that this Sabbath becomes part of the tradition, the habit of the people. Now, this last word is law. That's when we get to Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, where we read the Ten Commandments. But it's before the law is given. Before God says, keep the Sabbath, this is a law. And it's a good thing for you to rest. Before he makes it a law, it is even within the tradition, within the habit of the people. When the people of Israel have been released from slavery in Egypt, their life in Egypt was harsh. They were put to work. They were beaten if they didn't work. If they didn't reach targets, they were humiliated. And it was a difficult and tiring life, I guess. And they were glad to be free of their life in Egypt. God sets them free miraculously. And as they travel across the wilderness, there are some who say, how are we going to live? But you'll remember how God provides manna from heaven. And out of 7 days, how many days does God provide manna? Remember? Out of 6 days. 6 days, God provides manna. And they are told that on the sixth day, gather up enough for today and tomorrow. So already, the idea of a day of rest, the idea of Sabbath, becomes part of their tradition. There's no law to say it, but it becomes part of the habit, part of their tradition, that they should take at least 1 day in seven to rest. And so the people, on the sixth day, they gather up enough for the sixth day and for the seventh day. And the people are blessed by God as they continue this tradition as they travel through the wilderness. And then we have that fourth word, law. And this is where we get to Exodus chapter 20 and the fourth of the commandments. Remember the Sabbath day, it says, by keeping it holy. And it's interesting, it's extraordinary, that when you read the Ten Commandments, most attention, in terms of number of words, most attention is paid to the law about the Sabbath. More ink is spilt over this than any of the others. And I'm going to read what it says. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed that Sabbath day and made it holy. Well, God is saying, as he gives this commandment, as he makes this law, God was able to create all he needed to do in 6 days. If you can't do it in 6 days, leave it. Take a day of rest and wait. It hasn't got to spill over into the seventh day. And so in Exodus, there's the reminder of creation. This arises out of the character of God. Take a day of rest. Take a period of resting. Step away from your work. For the people of Israel, step away from the treadmill of Egypt and be free. So character, that's the first one. Second, it's about salvation. Freedom, distinctive, and unproductive. Freedom, distinctive, and unproductive. Now you will know, I'm sure, that the Ten Commandments are listed in the Old Testament twice for us. First of all, in Exodus chapter 20, but then in this second giving of the law in Deuteronomy and chapter 5. Exodus 20 happens at the beginning of the Israelites' journey, and Deuteronomy 5 happens towards the end of their long journey to the promised land. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, it begins the commandment about the Sabbath. And even more words are written now about the Sabbath, and I'm going to read them to you. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. And then it says this, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. In Exodus 20, there is the reminder of the character of God. Here in Deuteronomy 5, it's a reminder, you have been set free. You do not have to work like everybody else works. You do not have to grind on the treadmill like everybody else does. You have been set free. That's what it's reminding us. God set you free, not just from slavery, but the abusive way in which you worked in Egypt. And now that you are my people, now that I have saved you, you must take a day of rest. And so they are free from what everybody else might consider normal. And maybe that's been said to us in some way, that working 7 days a week is normal. Working 24 hours a day is normal. That may have been said in one form or another to us at various times. But there is this character of God that calls us to rest. There is that tradition in the law that says rest. And there is that call to us. We are saved from what everybody else calls normal. We are set free from it. And this second word is distinctive. As far as I'm aware, all the reading and research I have done, there is no other community in the ancient world that had the tradition of a day of rest. Only the Israelites. Only the Israelites had the tradition, the law of the day of rest. So how did people know that Joe was, wouldn't be called Joe, I shouldn't know, it might have been, Joseph was an Israelite? How did they know that Laban was an Israelite? How did they know that Rachel was an Israelite? Because they rested one day. Can't work today. People would have been drawn, if I'm going to be a slave, if I'm going to be a servant, I want to be in the Israelites' household. Because I rest one day a week. And there's a deep respect and honouring of humanity. within this tradition. And so the distinctiveness of the people was their day of rest. That's how people knew who they were. And this third word, how do you like this third word? Unproductive. Why do people not like rest? Because it's utterly unproductive. Utterly unproductive. You don't make anything. No. Nothing of value is created. What a waste. What a waste of a day. Unproductive. We live within a culture where it's all about production and consumption and profit. And we are called to be those who are prepared to take rest, to step away from production and consumption and profit. And that's about salvation. That's something of what it means to live a life of salvation. I don't do these things. I've been set free from this. So we've had two words, character, the character of God. Sabbath arises from the character of God. Sabbath is about salvation. That's where its roots lie. It's in salvation. And then the third is about worship, recentering compassion and service. And this is where we move to the New Testament, and this is the passage that Steve read for us. Jesus, healing on the Sabbath. Worship is about recentering. Worship is about recentering. Why do we worship? We worship to remind ourselves that we are not the center of the universe. We worship to say, Lord, you are Lord. Your name is above every name. It's not my name. I might have status and significance, but you are the center. And so we recenter ourselves upon God. And that's what worship is about. That's what worship does for us. That we are reminded that God is the center. That God is our Father. That he loves us with an everlasting love. That he pours out his Holy Spirit to walk with us. And God is the center, and it's not our laws, not our rules, not our traditions even sometimes that are the center, but it's God's rules and laws and traditions that we recenter ourselves on. And that's what Jesus we see doing here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 27. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not meant to control us, but it's a gift to us. The Son of Man, he says, is Lord even of the Sabbath. And what we can see is a whole group of people gathering around Jesus, waiting for him to break the law of the Sabbath. This can so often happen, that we make a tradition, a law, above everything else. And that's what they've done. Somebody is in need, I can't reach out to them because it's the Sabbath. Somebody is hurt, I can't heal them and help them because it's the Sabbath. That's what has happened. But of course, Sabbath arises from the character of God, a character of love and kindness and compassion and mercy. And so Jesus does this extraordinary thing. He commands this man who's there with a shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. And then he asks the question, which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? And they remained silent. See, Jesus understands who the center is. Jesus understands that Sabbath and rest arises from the character of God, a character of compassion and kindness. The Sabbath creates space for service, being alongside others. Sabbath takes us out of the treadmill of work, sets us aside from the stresses and strains that we so often endure, and creates space for compassion and kindness. And so, reflecting on Sabbath, these three words, character, salvation, and worship. Sabbath arises from the character of God. Sabbath is a sign that we have been saved, that we no longer have to live like everybody else. And Sabbath is an opportunity for worship, of recentering our lives and our hearts and our souls upon God. Let's pause there and pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the good gift of Sabbath, of rest. And Father, I pray for us as we reflect, as we think about what does this mean for me? Where is rest in my life? Where is rest in my week? Grant us wisdom. Pour out your Spirit upon us that we might walk with footsteps of joy. And we might discover in rest a deep stillness and solace for our souls. May your blessing rest upon us, we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.